well-being. Now draw in your breath and pulse it. Done. This will help counteract any negative aspects of the food or water. Will it make it clean and organic? No. But it will infuse it with the love of the Creator, which will make it more healthful. As you start your day and go out into the world, send divine love out in front of you and behind you as well. It's the very best kind of protection. Here's all you have to do. You get out of bed or remain in bed and say out loud or in your head, I now send divine love out into the world in front of me, all around me, and behind me. I am divinely protected as I go out into the world today. Draw your breath in, hold it, and pulse it out. Repeat as desired. Health maintenance. Healing and maintaining your health after a vampire relationship is all about bringing down stress and reducing the inflammation that leads to the health issues we talked about in Chapter 4. While these practices are good for everyone, they are essential for people recovering from vampire abuse. One thing to note, do not expect too much of yourself until you're able to set good boundaries with your vampire. Implementing these practices may keep you healthier in a bad relationship, but they can't compete with the overwhelming amount of stress hormones that you experience in a vampire relationship. I've tried to make a list of simple practices that you can implement in your life without too much stress because, again, this is about combating stress and its associated inflammation. I'd recommend that you listen to this entire list. Pick a couple of things you can do easily. Choose the ones that work for you now, and remember, success breeds success. And baby steps work far better than doing some kind of crash course in healthy living. Start and end your day consciously. Having an intention for your day can change the way you interact with the world, which is great for reducing stress. One great way to do this is by combining the power of meditation and imagination. Meditation has been the focus of a great deal of research lately, and it has been shown to help everything from depression to anxiety to weight gain to PTSD. The source of all this healing is you. When you focus your mind and allow your thoughts to become still, you naturally tap into your true essence, which is divine, powerful, and made of love. Meditation doesn't have to be hard. Simply start with 10 minutes per day. When you wake up is best because it sets the tone for the day. Here's a quick meditation that I like to do. Set a timer for 10 minutes. Sit with your back straight. You don't need to be in any unusual position. Close your eyes. Now imagine a cord running from your belly button into the center of the earth. Imagine earth's energy coming back up to your belly button. Now imagine a cord going from your belly button up into the sky, bringing heaven down into your body. You are now fully connected. Now, for the next 10 minutes, focus on your belly button. Notice what images, feelings, and colors come to mind. When the timer is done, write down what you saw and felt. That's it. After I do this, I imagine how I want my day to go. I spend a couple of minutes imagining everything that can go right, and then in the evening, before I go to bed, I ask myself, what can I learn from today? And I write the answers down. I learned this AM and PM technique from Joseph Clough, a master hypnotist who teaches people how to send messages to their unconscious minds to reach their full potential. The imagination part at the beginning of the day works because your mind can't tell the difference between what is real and what is not. So experiencing the goodness in your imagination sends signals of positivity to the mind. Checking in at the end of the day helps you see your progress so you don't lose momentum. What we pay attention to expands. So when, in the evening, you check in about the good stuff that happened and write it down, you begin to see a pattern emerge as you see tangible evidence that your thoughts and intentions truly do positively influence your world. The way this actually works is through a part of the brainstem known as the reticular activating system. This area of the brain helps you focus on something that is relevant to you and tune out other stuff. It's this part of the brain that is working when, after you've decided to buy a certain kind of red car, you begin to notice that kind of car everywhere. That car has suddenly become very relevant, and so you see it. This twice-a-day check-in via the reticular activating system will eventually retrain your subconscious mind and brain and begin to reprogram it. Breathe deeply and regularly. Another practice that will help calm down those stress hormones is breathing deeply through your nose and regularly. Try this. Take a slow, deep breath through your nose. Open up the back of your throat as you do this. Then let it out through your nose. Wait a second or two. Now, take a slow, deep breath through your mouth. Exhale through your mouth. What do you notice? The breath through your nose is much deeper because the anatomy of the nose sends the air right down to the lower lobes of the lungs where most of the blood is. Hence, a slow, deep breath through your nose is far more effective at oxygenating your lungs than a breath through your mouth. But there's more. Expanding the lower rib cage is associated with stimulating the vagus nerve as it runs through your diaphragm. This is the main nerve of the parasympathetic rest and restore, or rest and digest, part of the nervous system, the part that helps beat those stress hormones. There are stress receptors in the upper lobes of the lungs, the place where shallow breaths through the mouth end up, stressing you out further. On the other hand, deep breaths through your nose activate calming receptors in the lower lobes of your lungs. Breathing through the nose also increases your body's levels of nitric oxide, a gas that is produced by the lining of every blood vessel in your body. Nitric oxide is the uber neurotransmitter that balances out all the other neurotransmitters in the body, such as serotonin, beta endorphin, and dopamine. These are the neurotransmitters that are affected by psych meds, such as Prozac. Learning how to breathe fully through our noses helps us remember who we really are while digesting excess stress hormones. So try to take 3 or 4 slow, deep breaths through your nose multiple times a day. You can do it whenever you have a break, just to bring you back to a relaxed state. Or you can do it in the midst of a stressful event. Put sticky notes that say breathe all around your house, the bathroom mirror, the steering wheel of your car, your refrigerator door. You'll be amazed at how much healing comes from breathing deeply and regularly. The benefits of breathing consciously through your nose are so great that I've even started to apply one of the methods developed by the late Russian doctor Konstantin Buteyko, whose groundbreaking and clinically proven work can correct asthma, snoring, sleep apnea, and other breathing conditions. Though there are many breathing exercises in the Buteyko method, the one I use is really simple. Every night before I go to sleep, I tape my mouth shut. Sounds crazy, right? Well, here's what I've noticed. I wake up each morning with far more energy and far less grogginess than ever before. The first time you do this, you might feel a little panicky for about 15 minutes, but don't worry, your body will adjust. And then all night long, you'll be in a rest and restore breathing pattern, in which your body is metabolizing stress hormones instead of the mouth open, snoring, fight or flight pattern that afflicts so many. So remember, breathe through your nose. Breathing through your mouth actually elicits a stress response. It literally causes your body to make more stress hormones. Move your body. Okay, now let's move into the body and try to calm down stress and inflammation in another way. Movement. Here's the thing about movement. It is actually an incredibly powerful aid for creating and maintaining mental health. It has been found that 50% of mild to moderate depression can be cured simply with aerobic exercise, and not a whole lot of it either. just 20 minutes three times per week, and walk or exercise at a pace at which you can comfortably breathe through your nose. Never exert yourself more than you can handle with nose breathing. The moment you need to breathe through your mouth, you're in fight or flight, and the stress hormone response will just result in cellular inflammation and, over time, depressed immunity. One of the reasons why people don't lose weight, despite loads of exercise, is that they're exercising while gasping for breath with their mouths open. All this does is increase stress hormones and cellular inflammation. When you breathe slowly and steadily through your nose, you will find that your rib cage will eventually become more flexible, and you'll be able to walk and even run while breathing only through your nose. Dr. John Douyard, founder of Life Spa in Boulder, Colorado, and the author of Body, Mind, and Sport, has even trained people to climb Everest with no additional oxygen because of their ability to oxygenate their tissues through proper breathing during physical exertion. I know several athletes who are able to run easily, joyfully, and comfortably while breathing through their noses, something they all had to work up to. Meanwhile, those who exercise while breathing through their mouths often end up sore, stiff, tired, and dreading exercise. Making the changes we've been talking about, setting boundaries with your vampire, working on healing wounds, and so on, is likely to lead some people to feel a bit unbounded until they get well into the process. And that's one of the reasons I recommend some basic exercise. Take a 20-minute walk three times per week. You can even do this walking up and down the hallways of a building or walking around a mall. Of course, it's always best to get outside. But start where you are. The old adage, a healthy mind in a healthy body, is very true. Exercise changes the brain as much as it does your muscles. Another thing that leads to a deterioration in the body is sitting for long periods of time. Some people have actually described sitting as the new smoking, because sitting for more than 6 hours per day increases your risk of just about everything, from heart attack to stroke to diabetes to cancer. Even if you exercise regularly, prolonged sitting cancels out a lot of the good effects. Sitting is actually experienced by the body as a state of weightlessness, which makes us lose our balance, our vital capacity, our bone density, our cardiac output, and many other bodily functions, just like astronauts who've been weightless in space. Joan Vernikos, PhD, the former director of NASA's Life Sciences Division, who was responsible for keeping John Glenn healthy when he went back into space at the age of 77, says that standing every 20 to 30 minutes will make even very sedentary people in wheelchairs, those who are not paralyzed, able to get up and walk again. That is the power of moving against gravity. Because of this, I tell people that they should, at the very least, stand up and sit down every 30 minutes. For you, in your vampire-induced weakened state, this is extra important. Many of the physical symptoms we associate with aging, pain, limited range of motion, and that shuffling walk come from the accumulation of fascia in the body. Fascia is a network of connective tissue that connects everything in the body. It binds the skin to the muscles, encases and runs throughout all the muscles, and also connects the muscles to the bones and to every organ in the body in one continuous, uninterrupted sheath. As we go through life, our fascia can become dense, scarred, and thickened as a result of physical, emotional, and mental stress, all of which you have endured during your vampire relationship. This stress leads to inflammation, then thickening as the tissue fibers stick together. Over time, this begins to restrict the free flow of movement and energy in the body. The reason for restricted movement is clear. Since fascia is connected throughout the body, the thickening of tissue in one place affects the fascia in every part of the body. The reason for restricted energy is a bit more complicated. Our fascia is crystalline in nature, and like any crystal, it transmits energy. This means that it can send information throughout the body very rapidly. However, when your fascia becomes dense and thickened, its ability to transmit energy decreases. Lower transmission of energy means that your issues get stuck in your tissues, and your body quite literally begins to look and act old. As my intuitive friend and fascia expert Hope Matthews says, it's not your age, it's your fascia. Happily, it's never too late to restore your fascia to a more youthful, fluid, and hydrated state. Stretching and working this fascial tissue helps keep your body in tip-top shape. Not only are you keeping it flexible, but you are also activating acupuncture meridians that run throughout this system. These meridians are the highways along which energy flows, and they are connected to every organ in your body. When you activate those meridians, you send healing energy to the organs associated with them, which is a great help as you're working to restore health after your vampire relationship. Correct posture is another form of movement that is key to keeping fascia healthy and keeping all organs functioning healthfully. The modern built environment tends to make us slouch and move improperly. Looking repeatedly at our cell phones with our heads down puts strain on our necks, and the end result shows up as dense fascia. There are natural, healthy postures used by athletes, children, and people in traditional societies the world over who have no back pain. It's possible to learn how to transform how you sit, stand, bend, and move in ways that are healthy. The leading authority on this is Esther Gokhale, the author of 8 Steps to a Pain-Free Back. She teaches a system of healthy posture that helps restore your body's structural integrity. Working your fascial meridians through specific stretching does more than help your posture and muscle tone. It also helps shore up your energetic boundaries so that you are far less susceptible to picking up other people's stuff. As I'm sure you can imagine, this helps as you work to keep energy vampires at bay. My Pilates and intuitive movement healer, Hope Matthews, who's also a skilled empath, told me that she no longer gets visited by unwanted visitors at night because she started stretching regularly. The type of stretching I'm talking about means contracting your muscles while also stretching them, exactly like a dog or cat does when they get up from sleeping, or like you do when you yawn in the morning and stretch your hands over your head. Recall that we empaths are porous. To become more like Teflon instead of Velcro, you need to move and keep your fascia healthy. The other thing that we've seen about the fascia is that it stores emotions that haven't been processed. These emotions can then manifest as illness. The fascial information storage is how our biography becomes our biology. So when you move in new ways, you keep your fascia and your potential flowing. In the print edition of this book, I have included a list of favorite movement practices in the resources section. Or check out the Center for Intuitive Movement.com. Clean up your diet. I could write a whole book on this topic, and so could zillions of other people. There are so many different takes on this topic that I'll leave you with just a few pieces of tried and true advice for bringing down inflammation in your body. The first is, eat your vegetables. No, you don't have to become a vegetarian. In fact, there are many individuals who do much better with animal protein, including red meat. But everyone needs a whole lot of vegetables. Green, leafy, and brightly colored vegetables, the more the better. Next, keep processed, packaged foods to a minimum and eliminate all refined carbohydrates whenever possible. That includes packaged cookies, cakes, breads, rolls, and so on. Concentrate on whole foods directly from the earth or sea, unprocessed whenever possible. Organic and non-GMO if possible. When not possible, bless your food with divine love like I've taught you. And finally, and perhaps most important, avoid sugar. Sugar is an opiate that dulls pain. And if you are in a relationship with a vampire, trust me, you're in pain. Even if you don't know it intellectually. In experimental situations, when rats are given a choice between sugar water and cocaine, they go for the sugar water far more frequently. It has been estimated that sugar is 8 times more addictive than heroin or other opiates. When rats are fed sugar, they can hold their paws on hot surfaces much longer. You might say that sugar is the opiate of the masses. That is why, in sitcom after sitcom, you see the characters going for ice cream or pizza or chips when under stress. In his book, One Spirit Medicine, anthropologist Alberto De Loldo points out that a diet that contains a lot of sugar is associated with the lower brain centers, the survival centers of the species, whereas a diet that contains very little sugar is associated with the activation of the more evolved areas of the brain that are involved in creativity, revelation, invention, and connection with source energy. I recall back in the 1980s reading research from the Tidewater Detention Home in Virginia. Sugar had been removed from the diet of these boys, and aggression and violence decreased dramatically. There is no question that, in many individuals, sugar, or alcohol, which is pretty much the same thing, can trigger violent or aggressive behavior. It takes us away from our higher selves and keeps us stuck in a lower, slower vibration. I know that giving up sugar may seem impossible, but you can do it. In his book, Always Hungry, Dr. David Ludwig of Boston Children's Hospital has a 10-day introduction to his program that eliminates all sugars, including artificial sweeteners, even the healthy ones like stevia. Within 10 days, the taste buds will be reset, and an apple will taste very sweet, and so will a sweet potato. And better yet, insulin levels will plummet, and so will the cellular inflammation that makes you feel tired, achy, and cranky. At the very least, your energy field will be boosted enough so that you'll be more vampire resistant. Eat mindfully. Okay, I know how hard this is. Eating on the run is sometimes the only option in your busy life. And sometimes you just want to sit in front of the TV and zone out. I get it. But eating mindfully is important. So when you're ready to eat, sit down someplace where you won't be distracted, and then chew each bite 25 times before you swallow it. If you do this, you'll find that you really, truly taste your food. When you do this for your body and your little inner child, you'll feel truly loved and taken care of in a way that you probably weren't when you were a kid. It's a discipline, I know, but try it. You'll be amazed at how satisfying your food will be and how much less of it you'll want to eat and how good your digestion will be, given that digestion begins in the mouth. Eating this way will also calm down the stress hormones that so many of us empaths have floating around after interacting with vampires. Get your sleep. Sleep is, hands down, the most effective way our bodies have to metabolize excess stress hormones and heal our bodies. Increasingly, research is showing how vital quality sleep is to every function in the body. Schools are finally realizing that a later start time is essential for teenagers who need a lot of sleep, and industry is realizing how important good rest is to employee performance. When she was still at her company, The Huffington Post, Arianna Huffington, sleep activist and author of The Sleep Revolution, Transforming Your Life One Night at a Time, instituted nap rooms for staff. She told me that they are used regularly. I recently bought a day bed for my own office, and I'm encouraging my staff to use it on those days when they simply can't keep their eyes open. While they have been socialized into thinking that the best approach is to just push through, it is most definitely not. Sleep is my go-to healer, and I highly recommend it for everyone. Yes, I know there are few rare individuals who really appear to get by on a mere 4 to 5 hours a night. They are, unfortunately, celebrated for this. For decades, those of us who have needed more sleep have felt like something is wrong with us. Medicine is a very sleep macho culture, and heaven knows I've had more than my share of all-nighters in the emergency and delivery rooms. But this shouldn't be a way of life for anyone. When you are regularly sleep-deprived, your body shifts into cellular inflammation mode. It becomes nearly impossible to lose weight, let alone live from your true, authentic self. When I've been traveling or have had to get up earlier than my body wants to, I always schedule in a day or two when I don't have to awaken at a certain time. Instead, I just sleep as long as I want to, and sometimes that means 12 or more hours at a stretch. You read that right. 12 or more hours. After all, the great apes, our closest species relative, sleep 10 hours a night. I've also heard that the great Albert Einstein routinely slept 10 hours a night. Here are a few rules for good sleep. Create an electronic sundown. Light from computer monitors, cell phones, and television adversely impacts melatonin levels in your brain. Melatonin, produced by the pineal gland, acts as an antioxidant and is essential for good health and sound sleep. When you fall asleep with a television screen turned on, you are bombarding your body with the wrong wavelengths for rest. Electronics are also very activating for the nervous system. No good parent puts their child to bed following a couple hours of violent or activating television shows. Instead, there is a lovely routine in which the child goes to his or her bedroom or maybe is bathed. Then the parent reads them a story and tucks them in. This routine generally lasts about 30 minutes to an hour. We need the same love and care as that little child. I almost always take a warm bath with a cup of Epsom salts in the water before bed. The magnesium in the Epsom salts is very calming to the nervous system. I also read a little in the bathtub. Sleep in the dark, if possible. Ambient light decreases melatonin. Notice how activated you get on full moon nights when the moon is shining in your window. If necessary, get some blackout blinds, especially if you live in an area where streetlights shine in your window. Get to bed by 10 p.m. In both Ayurvedic and traditional Chinese medicine, it is well established that the liver detox cycle in the body runs from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. That means that your body will get maximal detox and rejuvenation time if you're sleeping during these hours instead of watching television or working on your computer. Turn off your cell phone. I know this is hard. We're addicted to the things. But having your cell phone on is bad on quite a number of levels. First of all, you leave yourself open to the texting or emailing whims of people who may not be so considerate of your sleep. Having your phone on also inspires you to check it first thing in the morning. I recommend that upon arising, you give yourself at least 30 minutes of introspective time before checking any emails or social media. Use that powerful, nearly awakened, clean slate to set the tone for your day. Meditate. Read something inspirational. Say an affirmation or two. And send divine love out in front of you and in back of you to pave the quality of your day. Consider taping your mouth shut. As I mentioned earlier, taping your mouth shut while you sleep will train your body to breathe through your nose, which will allow your body to detox stress hormones far more rapidly than mouth breathing. Over time, this practice will actually change your jaw position, your rib cage, your nasal passages, and the quality of your sleep, not to mention the benefits of eliminating snoring, mouth breathing, and sleep apnea. I know it may sound crazy, but give it a try. I use 3M Micropore paper tape, but you can use any hypoallergenic paper tape. The other amazing thing about sleep is that when you sleep soundly, you tend to remember your dreams. And dreams are the way your subconscious gets your attention, which can be very handy as you're working to heal your wounds and childhood trauma. You can actually work directly with your dreams to find out what needs to be healed. So pay attention when you dream. Check in with your intuition and ask if this dream was merely an accounting of your day or if it held some deeper message. Think of your dreams as letters from your subconscious telling you what is still wounding you. One of the most effective ways I've found to deal with wounds that come up to me through dreams is to figure out what emotions are being brought up by the dream. Then I feel the emotions fully, name the needs those emotions signify, and do something to get those needs met. In the example I gave earlier about the dream I had about needing to get my bags packed to catch a train while my family completely ignored me, the emotion I woke up with in the morning was profound grief at not getting support or help. So I named those emotions letting the grief and abandonment move through me. Then I named the needs that these emotions signified. My need for support, having my needs recognized, feeling seen, loved, and valued. Then I talked about the dream with some trusted friends so I could immediately get support in waking time. Once I had shared my feelings and gotten support, the healing happened quite quickly. This was a particularly dramatic dream. In many other dreams, when there is an outcome that I don't like, I just go back into the dream in waking time and rearrange the message in the dream. I create situations that meet my unmet needs. Had I done this with my dream of no one helping me, I would have gone back into the dream, asked for help, and had my entire family gather around me to help me pack my suitcase and get to the train in record time. Maybe with a nice stop for coffee first. Daydreaming and going back into the dream in waking time accesses the subconscious just the same as a dream does. And by doing this, you can quickly work with your subconscious story and upgrade it in your waking life. Remember, you need never be a victim of your dreams. Worry about the right things. Maintaining balance in your body has become something of an obsession lately. You can see it in the vitamin section of your local grocery store and the multitude of tests your doctor orders. But there are some things you need to care about and some things you don't. And with all the stress you've experienced in your relationship, the don't worry part of this is very important. Here's my quick list. Fasting insulin. This is something you should care about, and a simple test from your healthcare provider can tell you where you are. Your fasting insulin level measures the amount of insulin in your bloodstream when you haven't eaten anything for at least 12 hours. Why do I tell you to check this? Because insulin levels begin to rise up to 10 years before most people are diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. So this test will help you keep an eye on your body's ability to process sugar. And as you remember, sugar is a huge problem for highly sensitive people who are drained of energy. Some people may suggest that you test your fasting blood sugar, but a fasting insulin level is much more accurate. Fasting blood sugar may well remain normal for years while your pancreas is putting out too much insulin to deal with blood sugar levels that are too high. Ideally, your fasting insulin level will be below 3. Iodine. Because of water fluoridation and chlorination, plus the addition of bromide to baked goods, far too many people have suboptimal levels of iodine in their systems, so it's good to get some additional iodine in your diet. Iodized salt is the source that most people think of when they think about how to get more iodine. However, this salt comes with other problems. For saltiness, I generally recommend sea salt and Himalayan pink, but they don't contain iodine. So how do you get iodine and avoid the problems? You eat sea vegetables, take kelp tablets, or simply put drops of Lugol's solution in water. Generally, 7 drops of 2% Lugol's in water will be sufficient. Start very slowly if you are on thyroid medication, and if possible, work with a healthcare practitioner who knows how to monitor your thyroid status. Iodine is absolutely essential for optimal thyroid, ovary, and breast health. Very often, women with sore breasts will have complete relief after adding iodine to their diets. Note that when you start taking iodine, you may well get a rash or other detox reaction, as the iodine allows the excess chlorine, fluoride, and bromide to leave the body. People mistake this for being allergic to iodine. Other minerals. Because of the soil depletion, most of us need more minerals in our diet. Minerals, especially magnesium, are what hold the electromagnetic charge of our biological fields. When minerals are depleted, we become like a sluggish computer that boots really slowly. The most effective sources of these minerals I've ever found are Dr. Carolyn Dean's Remag and Remite liquid magnesium and other minerals. Dr. Dean wrote, "The Magnesium Miracle," and her research on the subject is the most accurate I've ever found. If you have leg cramps, atrial fibrillation, difficulty sleeping, headaches, or anxiety, all could be signs of magnesium deficiency. taking magnesium in this form allows you to achieve a much higher dose without the usual bowel side effects of oral magnesium, which often causes loose stools. I add 1 teaspoon each of Remag and Remite to a pint of water, to which some Himalayan salt has been added. I make up the water ahead of time, putting 1 teaspoon of Himalayan salt in a gallon of water. I then keep this at room temperature in the kitchen so it's ready each morning. The Remag and Remite don't taste good, so I just add 2 tablespoons of Bragg's Organic Apple Cider Vinegar to the mix. Vitamin D. Get your vitamin D checked. An optimal level of vitamin D is between 40 and 60 picograms per milliliter. Those with optimal vitamin D levels have half the risk of multiple sclerosis, heart disease, breast cancer, and bowel cancer. You can get plenty of vitamin D through regular exposure to sunlight. 30 minutes of sun exposure, if you are fair-skinned over most of your body, will give you 10,000 international units of this vitamin, all made under the skin. If you are darker skinned, you'll need to stay out in the sun longer to get the same amount of vitamin D. Dark skinned people can still get sunburned, so everyone needs to start slowly and build up. For those of us in the northern hemisphere, that's 5 to 10 minutes a day, starting at the end of March, and building up to 30 to 60 minutes over as much of your body as possible in mid-morning or late afternoon as the summer progresses. Note that after mid-October, you don't really get enough of the UVB shortwave ultraviolet rays in the north to make vitamin D under the skin. So during the fall, winter, and early spring, and when you can't get outside in the summer, supplement with 5,000 international units of vitamin D per day. Natural light is a nutrient as well. When you walk in ambient natural light, you are actually nourishing your brain and balancing your hormones via the retina of the eye. Cholesterol. This is one area where I vary a bit from the medical establishment. Cholesterol has been made squarely into an enemy over the past few decades, and in my opinion, this has done far more harm than good. Most people needn't worry about cholesterol until it's nearly 300. Many people in their 90s who are perfectly healthy have cholesterols of 260 to 300. There are far too many people taking statin drugs, which are associated with memory loss, muscle pain, and breast cancer. So while I suggest you get your cholesterol tested, don't just accept your doctor's prescription. Do your own research and then decide. Become vaccine savvy. Starting in 1991, the recommended childhood vaccine schedule from the CDC, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, tripled the number of shots it listed. And at the same time, Congress granted vaccine manufacturers full immunity from any lawsuits resulting from vaccine injuries. Since that time, the number of recommended adult vaccines has also increased dramatically. Once you understand the history and politics of vaccines, you will quickly see that there is a much more complicated story here. Besides, it is not infectious diseases that are killing so many people now. It is chronic degenerative diseases. Carefully consider whether or not to get routine vaccines such as shingles, flu, and pneumonia. All vaccines contain a plethora of toxic substances that can adversely affect health, especially in those as sensitive as empaths. Vaccines are neither universally safe nor effective. For an eye-opening and scientifically rigorous look at vaccines, I highly recommend that you read Dr. Suzanne Humphrey's book, Dissolving Illusions, Disease, Vaccines, and the Forgotten History. Dr. Humphreys is a board-certified internist and nephrologist whose eyes were opened to the risks associated with vaccines when her dialysis patients experienced deteriorating renal function after their routine vaccines at the hospital. Remember, you're an empath. You know things. And one of those things is how to heal and be healthy, despite everything you've been programmed to believe. Let Mother Earth heal you. Back in the days before antibiotics, people with tuberculosis were sent to sanitariums where they spent time every day lying out in the sun, and also exercising in the fresh air. Many were cured completely this way. But we've forgotten about this in the era of antibiotics, which is now coming to an end, as overuse of antibiotics has created superbugs of all kinds that are antibiotic resistant. Just 20 minutes of standing barefoot on Mother Earth has been shown to decrease cellular inflammation by 20%. When you're jet-lagged, standing barefoot on the ground will rejuvenate you quickly. That's because the Earth herself emits negatively charged electrons that feel really good and are very healthy. If you can't take off your shoes, then hold on to a tree. That, too, will ground you and your energy. Too much screen time in front of cell phones and computers is associated with all kinds of adverse effects on our electromagnetic systems. But this can be counteracted with regular time just standing on the ground. Know yourself. There are endless books on what to eat and when, how to exercise, how to meditate. So here's my last piece of advice. Before choosing a path, do this. Sit down. Take a slow, deep breath through your nose. Now, exhale slowly through your nose. Repeat that breath. Breathe in and out through your nose a third time. You have now lowered your stress hormone levels by activating your parasympathetic nervous system. So now you're ready for some self-inquiry. Ask yourself, how can I best preserve my life energy and love myself and my body right now? Write down your answer. It will be right there, whispering in your ear. Chapter 11. Standing as the light you are. If you've made it this far in this book, I hope you've been doing the necessary work to heal your mind, your emotions, and your body. But there's one final step in healing, a step that will help you regain or maintain good health emotionally and physically. Most important, truly embodying this step will render you virtually vampire-proof. It is the most exhilarating and liberating thing I've ever discovered. The final step is remembering to stand as the light you are, something that will lead to a life in which you are living as your highest and most fulfilled version of yourself. And when you do this, you are inoculated from the darkness around you. You are the light. If there's anything I hope you've learned from listening to this book, it is that you are special. There's a reason you fall prey to energy vampires. There's a reason you work so hard to help other people. There's a reason you are the person people turn to in tough situations. The reason is you are a light worker. You are here to anchor light and well-being for the entire planet. You are here to emit high-frequency healing energy. And until you stand as the light you are, you will not feel complete. You will not move to the higher states of love and joy that keep you protected from the people who feed off your energy. The light of empaths and old soul empaths emanates from our intent. Our intent is reaching a hand out to the divine, to God. And whenever we do this, we anchor in more light and emit more light and healing as a result. Remember what I said in the beginning of this book. Our intent, our light, is always grounded in love, compassion, and service, not self-sacrifice and martyrdom. Self-sacrifice and martyrdom have been tools of darkness used by darkness in the old energy. They are the tools of enslavement. When you give away your power or focus on trying to fix the unfixable, you dim your light. And that is one of the lessons you came to learn. That is why vampires can be such profound teachers. When you love yourself first, you stand as the light. When you forgive yourself for any real or imagined sins, you stand as the light. When you stop perpetrating the myth that you are flawed, and that something is wrong with you. You stand as the light. When you fill up your self-love bank account, you stand as the light. And when you humbly acknowledge your greatness with humility, you stand as the light. Whenever you feel guilt or shame or humiliation, you can get through it using the techniques and understandings you've learned in this book. And the moment you do that, you are clearing that particular vibration from the entire collective. Everything you do for yourself makes it safer for others to do better for themselves. Everything you do for you, you're doing for the whole, for the place where we are all connected. When you do this, it radiates an energy from you that tells people it's safe for them to feel all of what they feel as well. It also shows vampires that you are not available to be their prey. The amazing thing about empaths is that our energy field changes things. It illuminates the darkness and helps clear it. This is what it means to be a light worker. We are here to feel and clear dark emotions from the collective and speed up the return of loving kindness to the planet. Every time we feel pain, sorrow, guilt, or longing, it is not just ours. We are actually feeling and clearing that particular kind of pain or sorrow for everyone. This is the profound service for which we were born. It isn't even conscious. It's just the way it is. We didn't know that as children. Now we do. Our light illuminates whatever place we find ourselves, and the things that have hidden in the dark suddenly become visible. The vampires and their tactics no longer affect us or the people around us. Spiritual teacher Dolores Cannon, in her book, The Three Waves of Volunteers and the New Earth, speaks of three types of people who have come to Earth to change the energy of the planet so we can avoid a terrible disaster. The old soul empaths seem to fall into the second wave of these people. They are antennas, beacons, generators, channels of energy. They have come in with a unique energy that greatly affects others. They don't have to do anything. They just have to be. I've been told that just by walking through a crowded mall or grocery store, their energy affects everyone they come in contact with. It is that strong, and of course they do not realize this consciously. The paradox is that although they are supposed to be affecting people by their energy, they really don't feel comfortable being around people. So many of them stay home secluded to avoid mixing with others, even working from their homes. Thus, they are defeating their purpose. The darkness. Now here's the thing. There is darkness in the world, but there is also darkness in you. It's in each and every one of us, and we can choose the darkness or we can choose the light. And you can get as light as you want or as dark as you want. It's all your choice. I remember reading a section in Paulo Coelho's book, 11 Minutes, about a woman from Brazil who had been invited to Switzerland for what she thought was a better job and a better life. When she arrived, she found herself working in a brothel. While most of her clients were the type you would expect at a brothel, there was one man who just wanted to talk. He turned out to be a very astute spiritual advisor for her. When one of her clients requested sadomasochistic practices, her mentor warned her against starting down that road of combining sexual energy with humiliation, pain, and shame, because there would be no end to how far down she could go. It would simply get darker and darker and deeper and deeper. It would require more and more of her energy. It's the same with anything we do. We can run for the darkness or we can run for the light. That dark part of you is the part that's saying, I don't believe all this nonsense. There's nothing special about me. I've just had some bad luck. Or greed and every man for himself are just part of human nature. It will always be a dog-eat-dog planet. The darkness sponsors unbelief. It knows that if a skeptic looks, they'll see something that makes the darkness obsolete. So the dark does everything in its power to keep you from looking. This is why so many people do not awaken to their light. Instead, they make fun of spiritual pursuits, calling them hogwash. Fairy talk? Angels? Prayer? You gotta be kidding me. When I was in medical school, a colleague said to me, "I can't believe you're reading a book about angels. A woman of your intelligence? Come on." Believing in past lives, energy fields, flower essences, and things that are beyond the realm of Newtonian physics? These are myths that clear-thinking adults dismiss out of hand. But this is precisely where you can find the light. When you reject the intangible, you decrease your access to the light, and that's when the dark sits on you. Our society has been built on darkness. Authority figures pit people against each other to keep wars going. Corporations look out for profits above all else because money is held up as the pinnacle of success. Schools instill fear and stress because there's nothing worse than falling short of societal expectations. With these pressures and the 24/7 bad news, it's easy to fall into despair and pessimism, which in turn makes it more likely that you'll sink into greed, manipulation, or addiction. Anything to numb the pain. But you falling into despair or buying into the ability of darkness to ameliorate your suffering is where darkness gets its power. The choice you need to make is to open the door to the light. The dark thing inside you will be with you as long as you're on Earth. Darkness has free rein until you begin to question things spiritually. When you ask, "Who am I?" the light begins to come in. You begin to have control over the darkness through your choices and your thoughts. Remember this: you are more powerful than any dark thing on this planet. Once you decide to step into the light, the darkness will lose its grip on you and your life will take a turn for the better. But for this to happen, you have to choose to step out of fear. You cannot allow yourself to be scared to death or worried sick. Notice those terms. They are phrases that illustrate the power of fear and worry. Fear immobilizes you. It's the dark part of you that says, "I can't get ahead. I'm too old. It's normal to get sick as you get older. It's too late for me. I can't change this." All the negatives. That's how fear and darkness work. When you let these in, you let in the darkness of the vampires around you. Fear starts in the gut. It is a lower vibration attribute of humanity that can be used to manipulate people. It pretty much drives conventional medicine. If you don't get this test, you could die. If you don't take this medicine, you could die. If you don't learn how to control fear, it will invade your mind and begin to run your life. So you must stop fear in its tracks. I know this sounds simplistic, but stopping fear begins with simply noticing it, shining a light on it. Next time you have a fearful response, say, "Stop. I know what you're doing. Stop." Then congratulate yourself for your skill of noticing your fear and stopping it. It really can be that simple. Just remember, fear is food for darkness. We are not meant to walk in fear. I know what you're thinking. I've tried this before, the affirmations, the positive stuff. It just doesn't work. That's no longer true in the new energy, the energy that shifted in 2012. Things are different now. You have immense amounts of wisdom, so let your wisdom dissipate your fear. As Elizabeth Gilbert says in her book, Big Magic, fear will always be with us. It's not going away. But it doesn't need to drive the car. You can put it in the back seat and not let it choose the radio station. I wouldn't buckle its seatbelt either if I were you. No need making it feel more secure. When you give in to your fear, your anger, or your sadness, you are fueling the darkness and giving power to the vampires. If all you do is strike one match, light one light, and say, "Dear God, show me. Show me." Just say, "I'm ready to know. Show me what I'm meant to do. I'm ready to listen." Don't be surprised if love flows into your heart, if angels take your hands and vampires retreat. Life on Earth is not supposed to be miserable. Our purpose should be to bring as much spirit or God as possible right down into the density of matter. Our goal should be to bring heaven right down to earth. And we can do that because God resides within each of us. That's right. A little piece of God is within you. That is the big secret and the key to liberation. The phrase, "to thine own self be true," speaks to this ever-present guidance. Every culture that has ever been on earth has asked the question, "Who am I? Why am I here?" Every inspired scripture that has ever been written was written by a human being who was in touch with the God within. Do you think that God, our Creator, has stopped talking to us? You can begin a dialogue with the God within anytime you want. Ask, and it is given. The thing is that each of us is an individual. The God that comes through you will be different from the God that comes through me. There aren't any rules and regulations written on any tablets. But your divinity is written in your DNA the minute you rise to the occasion of being the light. One of the most provocative things that Jesus said was, "These things and more you shall do also." And what he meant by that is that we too have the same power that he did. In my view, that is the second coming. When we realize the power we have had in our hearts, minds, and bodies all along. When you move past fear and victimhood, there is no stopping how bright your light can shine. Louise Hay, the founder of Hay House, the company that published this book, is a brilliant example of this. Louise grew up in poverty with a stepfather who beat and sexually abused her. She put a child up for adoption and never saw that child again. She developed cervical cancer in her early 20s, but she learned how to heal it with dietary change and affirmations. After marrying the man of her dreams, she was devastated when he asked for a divorce. But she didn't give in to her despair. She moved forward, and later in life even felt grateful for him, saying, "He made me Louise Hay." She self-published a book called You Can Heal Your Life when she was nearly 60. The book became a number one New York Times bestseller the same week she appeared on Phil Donahue and Oprah Winfrey television shows. And thus, Hay House was born. Hay House operates a network of light throughout the world, all because one woman decided to transform her considerable darkness into light, a light that keeps on growing and growing with each passing year. That is the power of human being as creator. Louise is just one of many examples, but now is the time for each of us to grab hold of our personal power. The world is shifting. In fact, so much light is streaming onto planet Earth right now. The darkness is very apparent. The darkness has always been here, but now it's right out there for everyone to see. But the light is getting so very bright. Robert Fritchie, who has studied with the late Marcel Vogel and worked with Divine Love for 25 years, says that the energy we call Divine Love has stabilized on the planet ever since 2012. And so what used to take the healing power of 5 people can now be accomplished by just one. Make no mistake. The darkness is strong and it dies hard. It is pulling out all the stops. And that is why, despite everything you've been told, the more willing you are to love yourself and be the light that you are, which includes radiating joy and optimism, the faster the darkness will go away. The darkness and its vampire minions are fighting for their lives, but they know that the jig is up. One person who is light positively affects 10,000 who are in darkness. It's time to take up the banner of Lightworker. The practicalities of standing as the light. So what does all this mean in a practical sense? It means it's not your job to suffer and take crap from vampires of any sort. You are here to transform darkness into light So the next time someone pulls at your heartstrings, but never ever does anything for themselves other than feed off your goodwill, tell them to go away. Investigate before automatically assuming that they are well-meaning. This is especially true if they are charismatic.